You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Thank you so much. For those who don't know me, my name is Bin, and I'm the senior pastor of Sun Life Church. I just want to say thank you so much for being here on this special day. Whether you're joining us physically or online, it is great to have your presence, and I do pray that you leave this morning service not saying how great is Sun Life Church or this is a great building or this is a great church, but rather how great is God? How good is God, and how God has been so faithful to this church here. Every time we celebrate our anniversary, whether it's the first anniversary 8 years ago or the fifth anniversary or the ninth anniversary, I'm reminded of the faithfulness and the goodness of God. I am just so reminded that God has been so good to this church here. I know of pastors and friends in the city of Perth and over east who, because of COVID, they had to shut down their church. And it breaks my heart. You know, I read somewhere recently, we did a national church life survey in 2016. And over the last 20 years in this country, we've seen over 1,000 churches close down, shut down. They say that in America, on average, every weekend, between 150 to 200 churches shut down. I mean, that's some scary statistics. And I look at this church here, and it's exciting. We've got lots and lots of children, lots and lots of babies. Whatever you are doing, just keep that up, you know. It's been amazing, and we've seen young families, we've seen people come to this church, their lives have been completely transformed. We have this wonderful building right here, in the heart of Leaderville, like right here, and I am just reminded that God, He has great plans for us. You know, we know that He is great, we know that He is good, we know that He's been kind to us. But He's got work for us to do. So I spoke to God and asked God a couple of weeks. I said, Father God, what do you want me to share on this great day? Ninth anniversary. Do you want me to talk about your faithfulness, your kindness, your goodness? Do you want me to unpack a passage in the Bible? Do I continue on the Philippians series? For those who don't know, we're going through the book of Philippians. And God just kept telling me the phrase, Bride of Christ. Bride of Christ. He kept telling me to tell this church here that He loves us a lot. He loves us a lot, and we are His bride, and we are called to be the bride that Christ died for. And God wants us to continue to be the church that God calls us to be. I don't know, maybe some of you can relate on that day. If you are married, if you remember, fellas, grooms, remember that day when you saw your bride walking down that aisle? Can you remember that day? Go back to that day with me. You saw her walking down the aisle, and she looked what? She looked perfect. Is that right? Beautiful. You're like, she's the most beautiful thing on the face of the planet. You can't wait to start a life with her. You can't wait to raise up children with her. And you begin to, you know, speak those words of faith that I will be with you for the rest of my days. I will be with you until we grow old, to death do us part. You prophesize those words that I will never forsake you. And then you begin to dream that she will, you know, grow into that wonderful person where she would love you and be faithful to you. Is that right? And you would dream that she would be this caring mother to help you raise these beautiful children. Anyone wants to get married now? Come and see me after the service, right? You begin to prophesize of her because you have this dream that she would grow to be that wife, to be the bride that you want her to be. And I felt God saying to me, Sun Life Church, you've got to keep growing to be the bride of Christ. Growing to be that person that I want you to be, that I am not done with you yet. There's so much to be done here. So this morning here, I wanted just to preach and teach to you, just as your pastor, the things that God has spoken to me for this church here. Two areas that God has made it very clear over the last 2 weeks when I sought God. I said, God, what is it you want me to share? What is it you want me to preach on? And God says, two things that I want this church to continue to grow in as the bride of Christ. And number one is that we have to grow in being more like the groom. We have to be more like Jesus. And number two, we have to grow in serving our community. That God has placed us here in the heart of Leadville so that we would grow in loving and caring and serving this community here. And that's the two things that I want to talk about and unpack and encourage you. And I pray that as you listen to what I have to share, that when you leave this place here, there's a conviction that you want to grow to be more like Jesus, and there's a change that you want to serve this community. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to be our great teacher, to help me this morning, that He would open up your hearts to hear what He has to say to you through me. So let's pray. Father God, I pray now that You would help me as I begin to preach and expound Your Word, as I begin to share the things that You've shared to me. I pray that Your people here this morning will be encouraged to continue to grow in being more like Christ and to grow in the area of service. Will You help me? Would You be with me right now? Holy Spirit, will You be our great teacher in this time? In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a big word in the Bible. The word is sanctification. You may see that word if you read your Bible, especially in Paul's writing, or you may see the word sanctification on a blog, or you may read in a book. But the word sanctification simply means to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. To grow in our conduct. To be more like Jesus. To grow in our character. To grow in our holiness. To grow in our godliness. To be more like Christ. That's the word sanctification. To be set apart. To be more like Jesus. So the next time you see that word, the next time you read that word, that's what it means. You know, the moment where God claims you and I to be His chosen one, to be His beloved one, to be His son, to be His daughter, the Bible clearly states that at that particular moment, we are sanctified. In other words, when we place our trust in Jesus, when we say, Jesus, You're all that I need. Jesus, I need You in my life. Jesus, You are my Lord. You are my Savior. That moment, the Bible says that you're sanctified. That moment, the Bible says that you are holy, you are pure, you are righteous, you are perfect because you place your trust in Christ. You read Paul's letter and you see the phrase, in Christ. And the key is to be in Christ, because when you are in Christ, what it means is that Christ is on the outside and you're on the inside. Is that right? You're in Christ, it means that Christ covers you so that when God the Father looks at you, who does He see? He sees the perfect one. He sees Christ because you're in Christ. Christ covers you. The key is to be in Christ. I was once at a dinner party, a very special dinner party, and I had a nice white shirt on. I think it was a wedding. And I was drinking a bit of wine, and there's nothing wrong to drink with wine. If you've got issues with me drinking wine, maybe you can have a chat with me afterwards. But I was drinking some wine, and the wine got onto my white shirt. So what do you think I did? I frantically went into the bathroom, and I grabbed some paper towels, and I tried to wipe off the stain, and I realized it was getting worse because I was smudging it and smearing it and spreading it, and I realized there's no way that I can go back to that table with this red mark here. There's a blemish there. I couldn't change my shirt because I didn't have a spare shirt, and I realized the only way is to somehow get back to the table with one hand covering that stain and then grabbing my dry clean jacket back to the bathroom and then put the jacket on, and that jacket covered that stain. I'm in that jacket. You see, when you are in Christ, what you're saying is that Christ covers you, and He covers your blemishes. He covers your sin. So when the Father looks at you, He sees perfection. He sees purity. He sees holiness, he sees godliness. And even if you still do things that you're not proud of, that's sanctification. It's wonderful for us to actually understand that even when I do things that I'm not proud of, the Father, when he looks at me, he sees the perfect one. He sees the holy Jesus. And because I'm in him, I am sanctified. Come on, let's be honest. There's certain things that we have done during the week that we're not proud of. Is that right? There's certain things that we have done that would never ever get onto our highlight reel on our social media page. You would never post the moments where you lost your temper with your children on Instagram. There's certain thoughts that I'm pretty sure that if the person next to you found out that you had those thoughts, you'd be hanging your head in shame. But the Bible is very clear that when I'm in Christ, he covers me. Therefore, even though I still struggle with sin, when the Father looks at me, I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm perfect. I'm righteous. And I love that. And that's too good to be true, but it is true. Let me show you in the Bible. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, he writes this: to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified. There it is. It's a past tense. To those sanctified, in other words, to those who are holy, to those who are pure in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. You see that? How about in Hebrews 10, verse 10? And by that will we have been made what? Holy. That's past tense. We have been made holy through the sacrifice, right, of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I mean, that's so wonderful. That's why this church here is all about Jesus. We're all about Jesus because we know that apart from Jesus, we can never stand right before God the Father. That's why we worship Jesus. We are so thankful for Jesus. We know that Jesus is everything for us. We depend upon Jesus. We know that Jesus is the one who covers us. Therefore, we love Jesus and we want to serve Jesus. It's so great. Like, if you have never accepted Jesus, and one of these days you're going to stand before God the Father and you're afraid that he may say things like, well, you know, you have done some bad things. I want you to be in Christ. I want you to trust Jesus and put your hope in him. But there's a but. There's always a but in the Bible. There are verses in the Bible where it says that now you've got to pursue holiness. You've got to pursue godliness. You've got to work on your sanctification. Now this gets confusing. I want you to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Look at this. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, brothers and sisters, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness. And now it gets confusing. Wait a minute, you just said to me that in Christ I'm pure, I'm holy, I'm sanctified. But now you're telling me that I've got to work at this? How about in 1 Timothy 6:11? Paul writes to Timothy, but you man of God, that's Timothy, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Or how about 1 Timothy 1:9? For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. So clearly right there's a tension. On one side of the coin, positionally, I'm sanctified, I'm holy. On the other side of the coin, progressively, I've got to work on my sanctification. Can you see that? So how do we understand this? This is how. Church, we have to be the person that God has called us to be. We have to be who God sees us to be. We have to work on our holiness because God sees us as being holy. We have to work on our godliness because God sees us as being godly. We have to be more like Jesus because we are found in Jesus. That's how we reconcile these verses. That we have to keep working on it. And let me say this. As long as we're still alive, we would never reach sanctification. Let me say that again. As long as we're still alive, we would never reach the point where we're completely holy and pure. Because let's be honest, in the flesh, we're still going to mess up. In the flesh, we're going to say certain things we're not proud of. We're going to do certain things we regret. We will never reach sanctification. The only day we will reach complete or full sanctification is when we meet Jesus face to face. At that point, we're now glorified. And that's called glorification. That's for another sermon for another day. But this is the reason why that's so encouraging for us as Christians today. Because sanctification is never meant to be an end product, but rather a process. Sanctification is never meant to be a final destination, but rather being on the right direction. That encourages you and I. Because if you feel that I've got to achieve and reach a certain point, you will never get there and you'll feel discouraged when you come to this church. Because some of the reasons I hear people who struggle to come on a Sunday is because, hey, Pastor, I don't feel worthy. Pastor, I feel I've done some bad things. Because when I come to church and I look at that particular couple and I love how they love Jesus and I feel that I'm not as holy as them, I feel bad about myself. Don't think like that. Sanctification is not a competition. You're not comparing with the people around you. You're not saying, well, that person is more holier and I'm not. I'm not there yet. No. Or that person knows more verses in the Bible and I don't. No. Oh, that person has been a Christian for many years and I've just started my journey. It's never a product. It's a process. It's never a destination. It's a direction. And what you and I have to understand is sanctification is all about us being on a journey in the right direction. You may be new, and I know some of you in this church, you've just come to know the Lord this year. But if you are heading the right direction, if you are heading in the right direction, you are being sanctified. And God looks at you and says, I'm happy because you're being more like Jesus every day. Some of you, you may be a Christian for 20 years, but you are not going the right direction. You're going backwards. There's something wrong there. And God wants us to know it's a process and not a product. God wants us to know it's a direction and not a destination. So you keep growing more like Jesus every day. That's growing in godliness. That's growing in holiness. That's sanctification. That's being more like Jesus. You gotta ask yourself the question, am I heading the right direction? I love it how the late David Paulson, he writes this, and I quote him, sanctification is a journey, not a destination. The real key is the direction you're heading, not the distance you've traveled or the place you've reached. You see that? Every one of us here, we are called to be more like Jesus. We are called to be heading in the right direction. We are called to hate the things we once love and love the things we once hate. I know for some of you, you've been in the faith just for a few months. But I'm pretty sure that before you met the Lord, you hated Christians. They're weird people. They're strange, dorky people. You could not stand the fact that these Christians would give up a Sunday and come to a church building and sing karaoke, mess karaoke in front of the screen. You hate them. But today, you can't wait to come to church on Sunday. I know some of you like that. Today you cannot wait to sing praises to Jesus. That's sanctification. For some of you, you used to love to drink and get drunk. You love to swear every second word. You love to drive by that old lady that cut in front of your lane, your car, and look at her right in the eye and give her the finger. You love to do that. But today you hate to do that. Today you just want all the old ladies to get past you. And you wave and you smile. Jesus loves you. But you laugh with me, but that's heading in the right direction. That's growing more like Jesus. The things you once hated, you find yourself loving. And the things you once loved, you find yourself hating. And if you and I keep growing like that, That's what He wants. God wants us to grow to be the bride of Christ that He calls us to be. He wants you and I to grow and to be the Christians that He calls us to be. He wants us to grow and be more like Jesus. But can I say this? It's very, very hard unless you have good people around you. Is that right? Yeah. It's very, very hard. Can I be honest with you as your pastor? Is that for some of you right now, you can probably relate to me. You're probably saying, well, Pastor Ben, you know, you make it sound so easy, but I've struggled. I just seem to struggle to be growing, to be more like Jesus. Here's the key. Find people to do it with you. You know that we're in spring in another, 30 odd days. Is that right? And after spring, we have summer. Is that right? And we want the summer body. We want to look good. So some of you are probably gymming right now. But let's be honest. Let's be honest. If you join this cheap membership, the 24/7, and you reckon you gym at 12 o'clock at night, no one's going to be there. It's very hard. But if you're a part of a group in a boot camp and you have people keeping you accountable, it's a lot easier. Is that right? Yeah. Imagine that. You're in a group, accountability group. Someone calls you up and says, hey, I didn't see you this morning. Where were you at the 6 a.m. start boot camp? You feel bad. Accountability. Hey, I saw you posting a picture of you outside Krispy Kreme. And the next photo, you were eating, smashing down a dozen donuts. Don't do it. Accountability. And it helps you to go to the gym and get fit. That's the same church. That's why I put a huge emphasis on small group ministry here. I say to you all the time, unless you're in a small group, it's going to be very hard for you to be like Jesus. In a small group at Sun Life Church, there are people loving you and people caring for you, people who never judge you, and all they want is they want the best for you. And that's why we put a huge emphasis at Sun Life Church. You've got to find a small group so that people can just help you on this journey of growing in the Lord. I know of someone, I don't want to mention name, that person said to me, I'm so glad that I found this church. I'm so glad that I found this church. I'm so glad that I belong into a small group. I'm so glad that there's a purpose in my existence now. And that person now, I know, still struggles with a lot of things, but I know that person is heading the right direction. It's never been about a destination. It's about heading the right direction. That person is growing to be more like that person's Savior. Why? Because that person has found a group to keep them accountable. And I need you and I to keep doing that. And God said to me to tell this bride here is that I want her Sun Life to grow to be the bride that I have called her to be sanctified, to be more like Jesus. Amen? The second thing is that we are to grow in our service to this community. You know, we think about our church, 9 years. You know, I just can't believe it. I still can think back in my living room days. And we had to buy our building right in the heart of Leaderville at Oxford Street. The amount of people that I've spoken to in this community who says, oh yeah, I've heard of you. I've heard of that church. I've driven past that church. Just recently, I was talking to someone in the city. And that person asked, what do I do? And then that person said, oh, you're a pastor. I said, I'm a pastor in Leaderville. She goes, oh, I think I know your church. I said, really? She goes, you're the church of the sun. Oh, kind of. The Sun Life Church, not the church of the sun. No, there's no sun here, right? But here's the point. People drive past this street and they know there's a church here and God has placed us here, not for ourselves. This building here is not for us. This building here is for those around this community who needs to meet the Savior because God came to search and seek the lost. This building here is not for us. God said to me, like, I gave you this building here, Ben, not for you. This is for those who need to meet me. And you know, we don't want to be Christians where we come to know the Lord and then we do nothing. There's no impact in this community. No one knows that we're around. Is that right? It reminds me of a story of three pastors. This is a funny story. It's not a real story, but it sounds really good. Three pastors in America, not in Australia, because they're bad over there. No. They had the same problems, bat infestation. They had all these bats inside their churches. So the three pastors decided to go out for coffee, and the first pastor said, you know, I got so mad with these bats. Took out my shotgun. fired at these bats. Didn't do anything, just made holes in the ceiling. Still there, these bats. Second pastor said, you know what? I trapped them alive, man. I trapped these bats alive and I drove 70 kilometers north and released the bats. But the bats found their way back to the church before I did. And the third pastor said, I got rid of these bats. And the other two pastors said, what did you do? Tell us. Share with us. What did you do? He said, simply, man, I just simply welcomed them to the fellowship. I baptized these bats. And I never heard of them ever since. That's a bad story. But isn't it true that sometimes people come to know the faith and come to know Jesus, they get baptized and we don't see them do anything? You know, the hallmark of Christianity is for us to serve, to love, to care for people. They say that after Jesus rose and left, there were two huge plagues in the Roman Empire. Two huge plagues. In the second and the third centuries, all the pagan worshippers ran away, but the Christians remained. They ran towards the hurting and they loved and they cared, and they were known as people who really cared for the lost and the sick. And God blessed, and the church grew. And I believe that the hallmark of Christianity is for us to serve. Jesus once said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. The Son of Man here is in reference to Daniel 7, where the Son of Man would come with full glory and power. So Jesus used that term to say, you know what, the one with all power, the one that everyone should be serving, he did not come to be served. In fact, he came to serve, right? And to give up his life as a ransom for many. I mean, how great is that? Our Master, our Lord, he served. He shouldn't be serving, but he did. In the gospel, if you know the gospel, you've been a Christian long enough, in John's account, in John 13, there's an incident where Jesus washes the feet of the disciple. Right? And if you know, the culture back then is that the washing of the feet was reserved for the least, a slave, usually a young Gentile slave. But you know the story, and Jesus would wash the feet of the disciple. But a lot of times when we read this story, we forget what happens next. Because what Jesus does is he does this in verses 14 and 15. He says, now that I, your Lord or your master and teacher, I've washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. You see? Because I have done that. I have served. Now you ought to serve. Verse 15, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I've set an example. I've served. Now you serve. If you call yourself to be followers of Jesus, you've got to be like Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus. He writes this in Ephesians 2:10. He says, for we are God's handiwork. We're God's masterpiece created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. We have to do that. And God wants me to tell you that as a church, he wants us to grow in the area of serving. Can I say that when you serve people, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be messy. And it's going to be costly. That's the reality. Like if you're serving someone right now, if you're doing ministry right now, if you're serving your family, you're serving at this church, you're serving on the streets, and you think it's easy or it is easy, maybe you're not even actually serving. Because service is actually meant to be hard. It's not easy. It's very, very messy. And it'll be costly. And maybe for some of you right now, you're serving and you go, whoa, you're right. It's so hard. It's so difficult. I just can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait for someone to come up and take my place so that I don't have to serve. No. God wants you to be where you are at. God wants you to stick it out and keep trusting him. Don't give up. I mean, the last time I read the Bible where Jesus says to follow me and deny yourself and pick up that cross and walk on that narrow road, that's pretty hard to me. So if you're in a place right now where you're serving the Lord and you find it's very hard to serve the people around you, I want you to stay put. That's where God wants you to be, because serving is not meant to be easy. It is messy. And sometimes it's going to cost your life. I had two beautiful Sun Lifers meet me in my office a couple of weeks ago. And they were sharing me this idea where they have the heart for the poor and they want to look after the poor in our community. And they said to me, it's going to get dangerous. I'm saying, yeah, tell me more. We got to get trained because, you know, when we look after these people, we're not sure what's going to happen. And I'm like, come on, let's get Kelvin. He's black belt taekwondo. He can do some martial art training for us. I didn't say that. But when they said to me, it's going to get dangerous, I said, yeah, of course. My heart leapt with joy because I saw the burden for these beautiful Sun Lifers to make a difference in this community. To serve the lost, to serve the poor, to serve the least. God wants us to serve this community here. And I want you to know that God has placed us here not for ourselves, but for the people here. A couple of weeks ago, I roamed the streets of Leaderville. I did a bit of an interview, and I want to show you this interview here of me just speaking to the beautiful people in this community. And I want you to be reminded of the privilege and the pleasure we have to be in the heart of Leaderville, that there's only one church, the Church of the Sun, Sun Life Church, sorry, in the heart of Leaderville to make an impact in this community. Enjoy this little video here. Hey guys, it's Pastor Ben here. In the heart of Leaderville, I thought it'd be so fun for us to go around and interview people in this community and to remind ourselves the wonderful privilege that we have to have a church right in the heart of Leaderville, the people that we get to serve. Hey, be encouraged with these wonderful people and let's find ways in which we can serve them as part of God's people. All right, let's have fun. All right, so I'm in the Restore with my main team. What's your name, bro?
Zach.
Zach, hey, tell us, Zach, what do you love about Leaderville?
The community vibes, everything's nice and close, you know, part of something bigger here.
And what do you think we need, especially with COVID, what do we need right now for our community?
More chances for people to come together and hang out and be with people.
Yeah. Man, I love your mullet, hey. It's awesome, dude.
Thank you.
Hey, do you know there's a church up the road?
Yes, do now.
And how can the church be a blessing to this community?
It's for people to hang out and feel safe.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, mate. Hey, have a great one. All right, so I'm at the Pixel Cafe down the road in Oxford Street. I've got my man Nick here. Nick, hey, tell us, what do you love about this community in Leaderville?
I love it that everyone supports each other. Yeah. They all, even during the times that we've just had, everyone came to support us at Pixel Cafe.
That's awesome. And of course, with COVID, what do we really need in our community in a time like this?
I think just continue supporting. Yeah, you keep it up and then like loving and supporting each shop, each local owner shop, and then yeah.
Hey mate, do you know that there's a church up on the road? Do you know there's a church there?
Oh yes, I do. Yeah.
So how can the church be a blessing to this community?
By bringing all the people here for coffee.
Hey man, thanks a lot, eh? God bless. So I'm at Grill with Maureen. And hey, what do you love about our wonderful community, Leaderville?
I think it's just really diverse. I love the fact that it's very arty and there's lots of just like community events and stuff. I think everyone just gets involved and it's just a very lovely community.
And of course, with COVID, what do we need in a season like this?
I think we just need reminding there's no need to be scared. Like, we're not so much under the radar in WA anymore. Just get out, be social, and don't hold back too much. Of course, be careful, normal, wash your hands, keep your distance where you can, but don't be afraid to sort of get out and meet people.
Hey, do you know there's a church on Oxford Street?
I don't.
Well, there is. What can we do with the church to bless our community?
Good question. I think just getting out a bit more and making yourself known, being very upfront and open and friendly like how you are at the moment, just being part of the community.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a great one. Hey, Sun Life Church Pastor Ben at East Perth Footy Club. I've got the wonderful Janie. Hey, Jane, tell us, what do you love about our community, Leaderville?
Obviously our expert football club, and we're pretty lucky to have the football club here in Leaderville now, where we were previously at Perth Oval, a big move a few years ago, and we think it's made a great impact on our Leaderville community.
Of course with COVID and a lot that's happened, what do we really need as a community in this season?
I think we need more community events when things do open up a bit more. And I think here at Leadable Oval we can offer that. We've got the big space to do that. So hopefully, as things start to open up, we'll be able to provide that for our community.
Hey, Jane, do you know there's a church on Oxford Street?
Yes, I do.
And what can the local church do to serve this community?
That's a good question, Ben. I think you can continue to do what you have been doing, which is to bring the happy, smiling face in around here. And also, I think a lot of people can come down to watch those.
Get a free coffee.
Get a free coffee, that's what we do.
Hey, thank you so much, Jane, and East Perth Footy Club. Bye for now. And that is it. Walking the streets of Leaderville. I hope you were encouraged to see the many people in this community that we get to bless in the years to come. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.
Come on. Yes, yes, yes. That's the reason why God has been so kind to this church here. He's given us a home in the heart of Leaderville. Not for us. For us to love this community here. Maybe for some of you, you're listening to me preach, you're saying, well, Pastor Ben, where do I start? I don't know when to start. I want to serve. I want to grow to be like Jesus, but I also want to grow in serving and loving my community. Start where you're at. Start at home. Parents, start serving your children. It sounds strange, but you serve your children by loving them the way Christ loves you. Fellas, if you never cook, I know that the Coles website, there are those, you know, quick meals, 5-minute quick meals. Learn a meal or so and cook for your lovely wife. Students, start with study. You may know of good study techniques. Help someone. Be kind. Be gracious with your time. Those working, be the best employee. Be someone who would open doors for people. Hey, can I grab you a coffee? I'm going to the kitchen. Can I grab you a coffee as well? At Sun Life Church. Find your passion. Find your calling. Make a difference, whether it's on the creative ministry or the kids team or welcome, coffee, cameras, many opportunities. But we've got to start somewhere. It's a muscle that God has given to us as His people, and we've got to work on that muscle. It's there. But you start small, you will strengthen that muscle, and you'll find yourself doing more. And there's joy. There'll be joy. So may we as a church continue to grow in serving our community. Keep watch of that space where I said to you earlier on, there's an opportunity for us to reach our community by serving the poor. That's going to happen soon. Next 6 months or so. Watch that space. Maybe that's an area you can serve. But do something. Don't be saved. Don't be baptized. Don't be confirmed in your faith. And then we never see you again. Make a difference. God has placed us here for His glory. Amen. Keep growing to be more like Christ. Keep growing in serving like Christ. And I believe that we will be the bride that God wants us to be. We will be the church that God has called us to be. Amen? Is that okay? Hey, let me pray for you.